Hello, my spooky friends.
My name is Cassie.
And I'm Caitlin.
And welcome in to I'd Survive.
Why did you giggle like that?
Because I looked at the camera.
Oh, you did that. Okay, I see you.
Yeah.
Guys, you're not gonna believe it. Our Patreon is alive and well.
Yes.
It has officially been posted and published, and it's been a journey. It was supposed to be up over a month ago, and then legal red tape and chaos. It's
like a whole process that we were not expecting, and I still am not sure if it, I'm not even, you know what? I'm not even going to go down that. I'm not going to go down that road.
No, it's totally
We're
fine.
Just happy that it's all done and complete now. And yeah, Patreon, starting with Salem's Lot, all video versions of the podcast are available over there. And we have bonus episodes that are outside of like the usual format of what we do on these main episodes. And I'm possibly more excited about some bonus episodes coming in the next year. Yeah, we are planning out that far ahead.
Yes.
I'm more excited about that sometimes than like these regular episodes, but I still have to keep my head in the game and be like, wait, no,
hold on.
Just take it one week at a time, focus on the movies.
That's the bonus content. I will say by the time this episode comes out, our first bonus episode will be out, and it is our like little recap of season one, so to speak, of the podcast, where we go back and we kind of just touch upon every episode. So that'll be out. If anyone's interested in that, you can check out the Patreon, which is linked in the description of this episode.
Yes. I want to ask you about Scream 7, but like it's hard to talk about it because I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to try to watch it this week, but do you want to give a statement at the moment?
A statement. I'm in trouble, guys. No. It's hard for me to say anything without saying too much.
I know.
And I'll say this. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
That makes me happy.
More than I think the average person, which is exactly what I expected going in. Because like we were just talking about how Cassie and I tend to have a higher threshold for things in the horror universe than I think the general public. You know, like we're just more like willing to just have fun with it.
Yes.
Whereas I think a lot of people went into this movie expecting like a masterpiece like Scream 1. We haven't had Scream 1 since Scream 1, guys.
Exactly.
Where have you been? I had fun, and that's what I can say without spoiling anything.
Yeah. I'm going to try to watch it in the next couple days because I want to be there for your little Scream 7 discussion.
Heck yeah.
But I find it very promising that you enjoyed it, because while we do have a high threshold for horror and like we know how to have fun with it, I feel like you also like don't put up with some bullshit in horror too.
That's true.
So the fact that if there is any bullshit in this movie, the fact that it didn't ruin it for you makes me excited.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I just can't wait for you to watch it because like there's things like I want to say, but I can't. So
yeah,
I'm just intrigued to see what you say. Outside of Scream, literally this morning before we recorded, I did watch, oh my God, I keep getting them confused, Curse of Chucky.
Now you're getting into territory where I don't know if I've made it that far. How is that side of the franchise going?
What's interesting is, I'm going to keep this short because I could talk about this forever.
Okay.
It's very, very different. Like drastically different than the other movies. I enjoy the vibe because I think the vibe of Curse of Chucky is very much like the Conjuring Insidious kind of vibes, believe it or not.
I don't think I've seen Insidious.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, wait, I think we've talked about this. Yeah, you haven't. Have
I
you?
Might have in passing as a child, but I don't know the vibes. Yeah. Is it more fun?
No.
Oh, it's more dark.
It's more serious. But
it's more serious than The Conjuring is crazy because The Conjuring is so scary.
Well, not than The Conjuring. More serious than Chucky.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Chucky feels like a different character. I didn't feel like it was the same Chucky.
Aww.
And so it, as much as I appreciated the vibe switch, I was like, that's not the Chucky that I know and love.
Yeah.
He was very different.
That's hard.
So like I enjoyed it, definitely more than Seed. It's just different. So I don't know.
Yeah. So then where does that leave you? There's one more for you to watch?
One more and then the reboot. And then there is brand new news about a new one coming out, I think, this year or next year.
Ooh, like continuation.
Yeah. Well, I saw something that said it was like a refreshing the franchise, but they did a reboot in like 2019-ish. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure. I don't know if it's going to connect to that. I haven't
looked
into it. So we'll see.
Okay.
And how about you? What were you watching?
Okay. So I did try my best to find a podcast movie.
Right.
And so I watched this movie called Devil from 2010.
Okay.
And I think the concept is fun. I'm surprised it failed me.
Oh, no.
And it's also produced by M. Night Shyamalan. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to at least be entertained. Do you know what I mean?
So you would think, but producer means jack shit to me.
Right? Yeah. Ever since the Him debacle.
Don't get me started.
But the synopsis goes, a group of people are trapped in an elevator high above Philadelphia, and one of them is the devil.
Oh my God. Wait, T.
Like, I think that's, so, you know, me and you, we love like trapped in confined space, not literally small spaces, but like everyone's stuck in a room, everyone's stuck here, there, whatever. And it's like got this whole mystery aspect of who is the devil among us.
Yeah, like an intruder kind of vibe. Like who is
it sounds so interesting, but it wasn't. I don't know.
Did you watch the whole movie?
Yeah, I went all the way to the end and I really struggled in the second half. And then like the devil didn't surprise me at all.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Sucks. I was like, I figured it was going to be you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there was like a really heavy soap opera religion tone to it as well.
Okay.
Where it's like love and God, which I'm all, honestly, like I am all about love and God, but it didn't feel like it fit the tone of what I wanted the movie to be. Maybe I went in expecting, like it could have been me and what I put my preconceived like expectations on it.
Yeah.
So yeah, if anyone's seen that, let me know if you actually liked it. I wouldn't be surprised. It's like, it's not like I'd be surprised if someone did like it. I just was like, meh about it.
And was it also like really heavy on like drama dialogue? Because I feel like
Had a good balance.
Okay.
It actually did have a good balance of some action versus dialogue. I think there might have been like too many characters maybe though. So like
the
dialogue was pretty spread thin for what I thought they were trying to achieve.
Got you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then I also watched this movie called Dr. X from 1932.
Oh.
Yes. Which is apparently dubbed, I knew it was a thing, but like this was during like pre-code Hollywood, like that late 20s to 1934 time when like silent films were becoming less popular. We have sound in film now, but now we don't have regulations that should come with like sound in film.
Yeah.
So like the code for like what is allowed came out in 34. So there's like this Wild West era of movies that came out like 28 to 34. That's really interesting.
Wow.
But okay. Yeah. So this came out in 32 and I watched it because you guys may know that I'm a big fan of Rocky Horror.
Wait, what? What's that? Yeah.
So let me tell you all about it.
Let me tell you again, happily.
And Rocky Horror is like paying homage and parodying all of these like old horror sci-fi movies. And in Rocky Horror's opening song, they have like, there's 11 movies that are referenced in the lyrics. And this is like the oldest movie. I want to watch all 11 to like get the references. But this
first she's like, all right, I got to watch all of Tim Curry. And now she has to watch 11 movies referenced in one song of Rocky Horror Picture.
Like, I'm just trying to feel something. Okay.
Crazy. I respect it.
Yeah. So this is the oldest one. And I want to watch them in like order that they came out. But this one has Faye Ray, who I know she's mentioned in a couple lyrics in Rocky Horror. And I know her from, she's like the King Kong girl from the 30s, like the OG King Kong girl. And she was in a lot of horror sci-fi and was dubbed like the first Scream Queen.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Miss Faye Ray. So, and I actually didn't realize I'd seen her before in The Most Dangerous Game. Have you heard of that movie?
I have heard of that.
It's one that like horror, like film people would hear of. But I saw her in that. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I've actually seen you before. Huh. But now I saw her in Dr. X, which was just like horror sci-fi. And I thought it was a lot of fun. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the dramatics of it. And it's like one of those fun, like mystery investigative, what's going on. There's like a serial killer that's like killing on every full moon. And then... And they're being cannibalized. Oh, and the the tool that's being used to like kill the bodies only traces back to this one like science research center that like five different doctors work at. So they're like, it has to be one of you guys. So it's like figuring out which one of these scientists is kind of a mad scientist. And yeah, it was actually a lot of fun. I love older movies. Like there's just a different originality to like the plot and dialogue. Like we're not in a formulaic horror movie format yet, obviously, because it's so early on. So it's more free in what it does, I guess.
Absolutely. No, that's really cool. I need to watch more like older films because I was thinking about like House on Haunted Hill is probably like the oldest movie I've watched outside of like Wizard of Oz or whatever.
But yeah, for a long time Wizard of Oz was like the oldest I'd seen as well. But I really like 30s, 40s movies kind of sometimes a lot more than even 50s, 60s.
Really?
Which is weird. Once we get into 20s, I do start to have a little bit of a harder time. But yeah, there's like a lot of great, like really captivating 30s, 40s movies.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I gotta get on that at some point. I did watch a movie that is not from the 30s. It's actually from 2026. Crazily enough, this movie came out 11 days ago from the day that we are recording. It is hot off the press. And
I love to see it.
What is interesting about this movie, Thrash? Well, it was written and directed by somebody named Tommy Wirkola, who you probably don't know, I'm gonna be honest.
Okay.
And they haven't done much else. But the interesting thing about this movie, which is never a great sign.
Oh.
It was initially slotted for theater release, but Sony then transferred the distribution rights to Netflix.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen that before. I'm sure it happens all the time, but I've never seen that before.
Yeah. So I think they probably, my guess is, made it and went, not worth all that marketing. Not going to do what we want it to do in the box office. So they said, here you go, Netflix. This movie also went through a lot of different titles. I know one of them was Shiver, Thrash, and I forget what the other one was. Something about Beneath. I don't know.
I like Thrash.
Yeah, Thrash. I like Thrash as a title, except that a lot of Letterboxd reviews are like more like trash. So
yeah, yikes. You're going to get
they set themselves up.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Maybe they did. Yeah.
They did. But how much do you know about this movie?
Okay, I think I know nothing except I think that there's flooding of some kind.
Sure.
That's like the only imagery I've seen is like, I think people are like swirling around in water, but that is the extent of my knowledge.
Okay. That's not a bad way to go into this movie.
Okay.
Here we go. The film opens with the sound of raging winds as some text fades up on black background. Since 1980, the intensity, frequency, and duration of Atlantic hurricanes have increased 250%. While wind and rainfall pose serious dangers, the most deadly threat is posed by the storm surge.
I'm immediately triggered.
Listen, okay, no, I had picked this movie without knowing that Cassie was going through some like tornado warnings. Yeah,
like severe thunderstorm, flooding, and tornado warnings. It was a crazy week this past week, and I thought I was going to die. Caitlin, I was so scared that I was going to die that you know how I went and stayed by my parents one night because I was like, because a tornado warning went off for the first time since my childhood the previous night, and I do not have a good basement for that.
And you were like, maybe not.
Yeah. So I went by my parents and I brought with me my dog, of course, Karma.
Well, yes.
And the final note that my grandma wrote to me on her deathbed.
Oh my God.
Her bottle of perfume.
Oh my God.
Like those are the two things that I brought. So you know how you're like, what would you bring up like if you had to leave your house? I have the answer now because I really thought I was being so dramatic. I thought I was going to die and I brought what I needed and that's apparently it. So.
Wow.
Yeah. This should be fun.
Yeah. So this won't be triggering at all. An audio montage, which I had to look this up. They generally call these like sound collages. It's just like lines coming in over each other. It's clips of news reporters informing the public of the dangerous Storm Henry, a level 5 hurricane that has seemingly surprised even like meteorologists.
Yeah.
Hurricane and storm surge warnings have both been issued for this town, Annieville, on the east coast of the United States and other towns in the area. The rain is coming down, the thunder and lightning rages, and 2 hours and 14 minutes before landfall, the evacuation sirens sound in Annieville, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever – hurricanes are a whole different beast, though, from what I – obviously, Wisconsin, we don't see hurricanes. But obviously, you're on that. Are there ever hurricanes that hit by you?
Yeah, we had them. We haven't had like a crazy one in a long time. I can't even remember the name of it, but like I remember my elementary school flooded after I left it.
That's crazy.
There was a hurricane that flooded my elementary school. So like I know it was really bad once. I remember like the mall got flooded. There was like insane water damage, but
yeah,
it's been a minute. And it's tough because like I'm one of those people who's truly fascinated by intense weather. And so I always like to be like, oh, I love a hurricane. But then I have to be like, well, people's lives have been ruined by those. So maybe calm down.
I think that's a common feeling. A lot of people like are fascinated with what this earth is capable of. But then also it's like, oh my gosh, it's devastating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a girl named Dakota, she's probably a little bit younger than us. So like mid-20s.
Okay.
She meanders over to her fridge in comfy clothes. The house is a mess. There's trash on the floor. There's a container of milk sitting out on the counter. And we get a quick shot of her pill bottle with Xanax written on the side. Though the sirens are blaring basically just outside, Dakota seems unbothered. There's not much to eat in the fridge, so she picks up the phone to order delivery.
Okay. I wish I had this. Like, you would think this would be my energy.
Yeah, right.
Unfortunately not. I'll get there someday. I aspire to be this.
You're like, it's fine. It's fine. Well, she attempts to order a burger and is shocked to hear that they're closing. She glances out the window. It's just a little bit of, she doesn't finish her sentence as she notices her neighbors packing up their car. Well, the only way girlie's going to get something to eat is if she walks to the grocery store.
Oh, dear.
The way that she looks at the front door before going out tells us that she really doesn't want to go outside. She looks very scared and anxious at the thought.
Okay.
But out she goes. She's walking down the street in her rain jacket, and the weather conditions are crazy. People are scrambling, packing their cars, and getting out of town. A fire truck rushes by with its sirens on, and Dakota starts to fall into a panic attack. Her breathing gets very short and rapid, and her heart is racing. And as she turns to just go back home, she bumps right into one of her neighbors who says, like, you shouldn't be out here. What are you doing? And she yells, I needed food, over the sound of all these strong winds. And the neighbor replies that he hasn't seen her in forever, not since her mom passed. He tells her that she should get out of town, and his words get drowned out by Dakota's heartbeat before we cut to Dakota back at home, sliding down the door to the floor against, like, the front door. She takes off her coat, and it seems like she's not going to go anywhere. She's going to stay right here. We cut to a lake and a rope swing where three kids are playing out in the storm. Their ages range from probably about like 9 to 18-ish. Ron is the oldest, Dee is the middle child, and Will is the youngest. They're having a grand old time jumping in the water, and Ron plays a little prank on his younger siblings where he like jumps in and doesn't come up for a long time, which
oh my God.
I think I hate that. That's not funny. That's
I don't
not
think
remotely
it's funny,
funny
either, because like I will sit there and be like, I know you're joking. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not funny. And then what if they die? And
exactly.
Then what? Then I'm going to be traumatized.
Then you're never going to trust anyone ever again, and you're just going to, it's going to be a bad time.
Yeah.
But he finally pops up and says, it's the aqua lungs, baby. And they're all laughing until a truck pulls up and starts honking. A man leans out the window asking them what the hell they think they're doing out here. This man is Mr. Billy Olson. And we can immediately tell that the kids do not like him. And we don't blame them given the tone that he's using. He calls them bastards and berates them for playing out here with the snakes around. They insist they were being careful, But all he seems to care about is that if one of them got hurt, he would have to pay the bills, which he has no interest in doing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Get your asses in the truck right now, he yells, before we cut away to an 18-wheeler labeled with McKay's Meats pulling up to a factory. The driver, he like hooks up the truck to some pipe at the factory. It's like one of those metal cylindrical backs that like you just kind of fill.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he hooks it up to the factory. We can see that there's like meat juice kind of leaking out of it. It's kind of gross.
Yeah.
And an employee of the company, a woman named Lisa, walks out the doors of the building and over to her car. And she is a very pregnant girlie. That baby looks like it's ready to come right out. And as she's leaving the parking lot, the truck driver, Bob, he walks by. So she's, you know, she slows down her car, rolls down the window and to chat with him. I thought we were closing down for the day, she asks. And Bob tells her that boss man wants him to do another load, but he seems pretty okay with it because he's getting overtime.
Uh-uh. That's so crazy. In this weather, absolutely not.
Uh-huh. Insane. As Lisa heads out, we can see more chaos around her as the storm gets closer and closer. She's on FaceTime with her mom in the car, and oh boy, we have tea. We have tea, okay? So Lisa's fiance, Eric, left her to become a professional poker player and DJ after he had convinced her to move across the country with him. And mom is pissed.
This is so Lana Del Rey coded. This is so Blue Jeans from Born to Die era coded. That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, crazy tea. Lisa hasn't told anyone about it because she's really embarrassed, which like I get, but also girly, you should not be embarrassed. That's diabolical.
That's so sad. People are like that. A lot of people react that way to being screwed over. Like you should not be the embarrassed one. It's so sad.
Mm-hmm. But mom, she's a little much. She's like very overbearing and she's still trying to push a tub birth on Lisa, you know, just like her sister had done. But Lisa's like, mom, I'm really fine. I'm going to go to a hospital. I'm going to lay in a bed and I'm going to listen to my birth playlist. She's very serious about her birth playlist. And
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just thinking about what my birth playlist would be. And I think you know what it would be. And it would make for a very interesting birth.
Oh my. Wow. That would be something.
Yeah, yeah. If you know, you know. And you should, because I never shut up.
Mm-hmm. For a second, I was like Lana Del Rey, and then I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. It would be much more exuberant than that.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be popping out in like 2 minutes. You know? So high energy. Oh,
so easy. Mom suddenly realizes that Lisa is still in Annieville and asks her why she hasn't left yet. Lisa explains that she was required to go into work today, but she's leaving now. And mom's like, well, they closed the interstate already due to flooding. Mm-hmm. And Lisa's immediately like, wait, what? Like she's like, oh, shit. So she speeds up her car. And we cut away to a much calmer place where a couple of men are docking in Oceanic research boat. Mm-hmm. They're talking about how bad that storm out near Annieville is, and they can see it from where they are, but it's not really affecting them here at the moment. Like they can just kind of see the giant storm in the distance. And one of the guys, the younger one named Brian, asks the other, Dr. Dale Edwards, if he was able to tag them all. And he says he couldn't. There were too many coming in with the storm. He's talking about the bull sharks.
Oh.
Yeah, just some bull sharks coming in with the storm, which is fun.
Okay. We're not going to get into like Sharknado territory in this movie, are we?
That would be fun. I've never seen Sharknado.
You know that you don't need to know the vibes.
I think it's probably a shark and a tornado together. So out runs the harbor master, Greg, and he tells them that the storm is looking bad. It's a category 5, but if they ever considered creating a category 6, this would be it. Dale looks concerned and says he needs to get in touch with his niece, and we cut over to Dakota's phone ringing.
Mm.
Dale's asking if Dakota has found a way out of town, and she tells him that she's just planning on staying here. He warns her that the storm is going to be really bad. The house could come down on her, and she just goes, I don't know, sounds fun. She goes,
okay.
She goes on saying that they always exaggerate these things and everything turns out fine, which like,
literally, like 9 times out of 10, it does. It's just a matter of, are you going to choose to be afraid of the one out of 10. And I personally do.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
She thinks the house will be safe and she's going to stay. Her uncle gets a little more personal with her, saying that he knows she's been hurting since her mom died, but locking herself inside that house day in and day out isn't going to make the pain go away. And it's like meant to be very apparent that she has agoraphobia. She doesn't want to go outside.
Yeah. Okay.
She laughs and tells him that he sucks at this parenting stuff, and he promises her that he's going to come get her within like the next 2 hours. One thing I'll say about this movie is it's really confusing the way people, you know how like, for example, Lisa's mom was just like the interstate's closed, but all around her, people are still packing their cars.
Okay.
So it's like there's stuff like that. Stuff. Doesn't make sense. And I don't know if it's me misunderstanding something or if it's the movie just being sloppy.
Yeah.
It's, you just got to accept those things.
Okay.
So people are continuing to evacuate as there is 22 minutes until landfall. Billy drives those kids through town as he continues to verbally abuse them, telling them that if they pull any shit like that again, he's going to drop them right back off at foster care.
Oh.
Yeah, really nice of him. A news report on the radio tells of a mandatory evacuation. So, of course, the kids are like, so, like, are we leaving?
What does that actually mean?
Mandatory?
Like mandatory evacuation. Like, where are we going? Does the county not – is it a county – is it a state? Like, you know, when people are put under evacuation, it's like, okay, where do they go?
Yeah, I you think know? It's just anywhere but here is kind of the vibe.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Which turns into – a lot of people getting stuck because whenever you see those, it's just like
all traffic.
Yeah. And it sounds like based on this movie, like it came out of nowhere. So it was like last minute. So people were just screwed.
Yeah.
But when the kids are like, are we leaving? Of course, Mr. Olsen's like, bullshit, we are. You know, he's too cool for that. Jarring cut to Abby Lee Miller screaming in Kelly's face about Brooke before Abby Lee mimes biting off her finger.
Are you like actually? Wait, like it's actually Abby Lee Miller, like not someone who gives the energy of
Abby. No, it's like literally Abby Lee Miller. And
I did check out after you said cut to Abby Lee Miller. What did she do? She bit someone's hand off.
Abby Lee Miller screaming in Kelly's face about Brooke before Abby Lee mimes biting off her finger. Oh, so Dakota's sitting on the couch watching Dance Moms.
Okay. Okay. I'm
and
here.
It's really funny because like half the fucking reviews on Letterboxd are like, Abby Lee Miller, what the fuck are you doing here? I've never been so caught off guard.
Same.
Abby Lee Miller.
Oh my God.
So Dakota's watching Dance Moms. And when she decides, you know, she's seen enough of that, she switches over to some home videos of her and her mom from years ago. Mm-hmm. They're playing with Nerf guns and there's this very horribly disguised moment where her mom is like, no, you're shooting it wrong. And she shows her how to properly stabilize the gun on the wall so she can aim better.
Interesting. Oh, I wonder where that will come into play.
I've never seen something be so obvious. It's insane.
With a Nerf gun. That's so funny.
Just a silly little Nerf gun. So Mr. Olsen and the kids arrive back to the house as the winds continue to pick up. In the living room, they have these giant windows that are like one pane of glass, and Dee is concerned. What if these windows break in the storm? And Mr. Olsen says the windows are reinforced glass, and there's no chance they break. He installed them himself.
You know what that's giving? It's giving – there's a line at the beginning of Titanic. It's like, this ship is unsinkable. God himself could not sink this ship. Okay. So I see.
I see what's going to happen here. So yeah, he's like, it's all good. Don't worry about it. He walks into the basement where his wife is packing up the fridge with beers. And it is worth noting that behind them is a wall with like 14 different guns on some kind of rack. Damn. They just got guns galore.
Okay.
And he's complaining about the kids to his wife. I don't even know why I bother, he says. Need I remind you, baby? His wife says, holding up the latest check from the government.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's so sad. Mm-hmm. I think that's also more common than we realize, and it sucks. People just like, whatever, can get money from doing this. That's so sad.
I probably shouldn't admit this, but I found out that foster parents get checks from the government when I watched Child's Play 2.
Oh, I don't even remember that detail.
Well, it's not even, like, it's kind of, it was more, it came up in the discussion because, like, the dad in Child's Play 2 doesn't seem like he wants a kid.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why would they even bother? And people in the discussion were like, well, for the money. And I was like, what money? And they were like, they get checks. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. That's why foster parents are so often evil people.
Yes.
They're just trying to get money. I was like, this makes sense now. Now I get it.
Shout out to all the good, wholesome, kind, loving foster parents, because those people are angels. But when it's just like all these other people just in for the money, is so it just sucks.
Mm-hmm. So the couple's interrupted by Dee, who has suddenly appeared in the room. We're hungry, she says. They're surprised to see her down here because the basement, it's off limits to the kids.
Mm.
Are those steaks? Dee asks, catching a glimpse of the open fridge.
Oh my God.
And Mrs. Olsen slides in front of the door as Mr. Olsen screams at her that it's none of her damn business. They aren't properly fed here, so to see that they've got ample food down here is a bit of a slap in the face.
Right.
Mrs. Olsen tosses Dee a loaf of Wonder Bread for her and her siblings to share for dinner.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They still make Wonder Bread?
I think so.
Oh my gosh, I've not like seen that. I always see that in like 80s, 90s like media. I've like very rarely, I don't know if, wow, Wonder Bread.
I think I've seen it in the grocery store.
Huh, throwback.
Throwback. So back over to Dr. Edwards and Brian. They're still by the water in their town where it has started to rain. And a reporter approaches Dr. Edwards and asks him to comment on the shark incident this morning at Myrtle Beach, where a couple was attacked by some gray whites.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Edwards was unaware of the incident and also says that this sounds more like a bull shark incident as opposed to gray whites because they don't hunt in packs. The reporter looks to the camera and speaks of the hyenas of the ocean that eat about everything that they come across. And Dr. Edwards is in the background like, whoa, that's exaggerated and inaccurate. But the reporter ignores him and they just walk away. So don't ask me why. This movie might piss you off. And I just need you to know.
I'm kind of in the mood to be pissed off. That could be fun.
Okay, good. So don't ask me why, but Lisa's like still just driving out on the road as the storm is clearly getting closer, and it's fine. She keeps reaching for her stomach in pain, which, you know, nerve-wracking because we cannot be popping out this child right here, right now. And she turns on her birth playlist and forces herself to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
We've reached landfall. The worst of the storm.
Oh my God,
is here. Dakota still sits on her couch watching the news, where the reporter is telling anyone who chose to stay behind to write their name on their arm in permanent marker so their body can be ID'd later.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. I've never heard of that, but like, shit, that is crazy.
That is like, I don't know. I mean, I would do it. I was going to say, I don't know if I could do that because it's just like resigning yourself to like a possible fate that you just don't want to face. But also, I guess, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting because when you look at these things like mandatory evacuation, I think that kind of lends itself to, if you choose to say like, we can't save you, that's the meaning behind a mandatory evacuation.
Sure, it's like a liability thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So at that point, they're like, we're not sending people in there.
Yikes.
We can't.
Yeah.
So she's watching the news until the power cuts out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as the audience, we cut over to the ocean where we can see the storm surge coming in full force and the seawalls are starting to crumble. All at once, they break down and the water floods onto the land. As Lisa is driving down the road now to go, I don't know where the fuck she thinks she's going, she comes across Bob in the meat truck again, and he's coming from the opposite direction and waves her down to stop. A tree just fell across the road behind him. So he's like, all right, turn around and follow me. Mm-hmm. But we have a problem.
Oh, Bob, a storm looks, perhaps?
Maybe. It could be that.
Okay.
Bob looks back up at the road, and from a distance away, he can see the water rushing at them down the street.
God, yeah.
So he yells to Lisa to try and squeeze by the tree because like the branches are there. So she could like try, just get away, get to high ground. So Lisa rams her car into the branches of the tree, trying to force her way through the brush. Bob tries to rush forward. There's a truck ramp just ahead. So he's like, all right, if I can make it to that, I can get to high ground. Just before he can turn up the ramp, the water makes contact with his truck and pushes him back down the road toward Lisa. Okay, we're gonna cut away again. This is a lot of
It is hard.
You have patience. Different groups. Yeah.
Yeah.
So back at the Olsons, the kids sit in the living room watching the news on the storm. And it's worth noting that where the Olsons are is not like downtown Annievale. It seems to be a little bit outside.
Sure.
So like the conditions are slightly different over there. Mm-hmm. So they're watching the news and they hear a loud crash outside. Looking out the window, they can see that water is starting to rush into the yard. And Mr. Olson is asleep on the couch with that big old window behind him. The kids are like,
yeah,
the storm's here. And he like slowly wakes up and the kids are trying to warn him, but he sits up and is like, for God's sake, it's just a little bit of wind. Well, the window crashes in behind him.
Oh, good.
And okay. Floods the living room with water.
Okay.
Immediately. So good on him.
And then he yells at the kids for not putting like barriers up by the window.
God damn it, these kids.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa's car is now freely floating down the street.
Oh, dear.
And she's panicking. Mm-hmm. And suddenly she's coming upon a fallen tree at a very rapid pace. There is no time to move. A large, thick branch pierces through the windshield and out the back of her car.
Yeah.
And some smaller branches pin her to her seat. They don't puncture like anything, but she's trapped in the driver's seat. She fights against the branches, but there really is no use. There's not really anything she can do given the angle and the number of branches, and they're pretty thick. And Bob's truck floats down the same street, and it jackknives itself around a statue of a man on horseback wielding a sword. And that sword punches a hole in the metal casing of the truck.
Okay. Oh my God. Wait, like in the meats part?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the meat part.
Okay.
Dakota looks out her window where she can see Lisa trapped in her car calling for help as the jackknifed meat truck spills its contents into the surrounding water.
Ew.
Yeah.
Wait, are like animals going to come?
Animals?
You know, to eat it?
What kind of animals? I don't know what you're talking
about. Like bull sharks?
What are those?
Perhaps.
Bull sharks? Huh?
Oh no. This feels like a SpongeBob episode actually.
Oh my God. I don't know why, but like, I love it. I don't know why.
The chaos.
The chaos is fair. It's very chaotic.
Yeah.
So at the Olsons, they're actually finally a little bit concerned.
Oh, good.
About their window
caving in. That's really good.
Just a tiny bit. They can't stay here, but wait. Their car has a snorkel.
What?
I had to look this up.
What? Oh my gosh, it's a real thing.
It's a real thing. I was so like, what the fuck are we talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know all the technical stuff, but like there's a thing. It literally looks like a snorkel and it's on your car. And it's like for if you have to drive through water, like it keeps the water out of the engine. It diverts air. I don't know how it works, but it's a thing.
Oh my gosh, we should all have this. I want a snorkel.
You're going to get a snorkel.
Yeah.
Just put it, like, it probably look really silly on your car. I don't know what you drive, but, like, it's probably not a big truck.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Cassie driving around with her snorkel in the middle of Wisconsin, and people
dry heat wave. Like, it's just in case, guys.
Just in case. You don't understand.
Yeah.
So they could totally try to drive out of here, right? Like, that's going to be fine. So Mr. and Mrs. Olson run out to the garage to see if they can get the car going, but tell the kids to wait inside while they check. Cut to two random dudes named Jimmy and Scott, who are in their little rowboat going down the street near where the meat truck, Lisa, and Dakota are. Mm-hmm. They hear Lisa's cries for help and make their way over to her. Scott fights the current to make it to Lisa's window and tells Jimmy to get the cutters that they happen to have with them. Scott promises Lisa he's not going to leave her here. Jimmy grabs the cutters and starts to make his way over to them when he suddenly just drops beneath the water and he doesn't come back up.
Oh, it's a joke though. Ha ha.
Teehee. Scott heads back to look for him, calling his name, when Jimmy pops up from the water, missing half of his left arm.
Oh my God.
Blood pours out into the water. Some panic is going to ensue as a bull shark comes back and grabs Jimmy again, dragging him beneath the surface. Now, Dakota is watching this whole thing unfold from her second story window of her house, and she... She opens it up and she starts screaming to Lisa, like, there's a shark, like a shark, like as if Lisa can do anything about that. Bob had been passed out in his meat truck, mm-hmm. but he wakes up now and kicks open the door of his truck.
Okay.
He's unaware of what's going on, so a shark immediately jumps up and devours him. Bro, never really had a chance. Yeah, he's gone.
Bob, I don't know why I'm so shocked by this.
It's like, just, it's suddenly like, bam, chaos shark.
Boom. Yeah, Jesus. Oh my gosh. I thought like there was going to be a whole arc of him helping Lisa and everything.
Oh, yeah.
No, okay, no, he's just gone.
He was only here for the meat truck. Like, all we needed was his meat truck, not him. You know what I mean?
Poor guy.
So another shark goes after Scott and drags him towards Lisa's car. He screams in pain as he's chopped up to bits and disappears beneath the water. The water surrounding Lisa and her car turn bright red. And this is act one check-in.
Okay.
Yeah. Just like overall like vibe, how are you feeling at the moment?
A little bit overwhelmed.
Valid.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. There's lot of characters.
A lot. And after actually Bob dying, I'm a bit stressed because, well, if I had to guess, I would say Dakota could be our final girl. But I was going to say I'm a bit stressed because I'm like, wait, okay, who's my person in this movie? Like, right. there's a lot going on.
Yes.
But I want all the kids. It's just, right. Yeah.
This is definitely an example of a movie where our questions are not like sitting with one character because it's us just all over the place. But I have three questions for you.
Okay.
For this act. And our one and only deadly question is our very first question. And I feel like you might know what it could be. Do you evacuate Annieville?
Right. Well.
I want to say, like, just for the sake of the characters, and this doesn't have to apply to you. Mm-hmm. I think they do a half decent job of explaining why these characters didn't leave. So like, bro, I don't hate
like
them.
If I have agoraphobia is like a big deal. Yes, like for exactly. example. Like it's just not that easy. Even in emergency situations, I'm sure it's like
right.
It's a lot to leave the house. So yeah, there's like definitely reasons for they these don't characters.
Have to apply to you, obviously. I just wanted to bring that up in case, because I'm sure a lot of people are like, well, yeah, 100%. You know?
Yeah. That's so crazy. I just have never had, I don't think I ever would, like in my area, I never would experience like an evacuation. I've only ever heard of that for hurricanes. Like for
hurricanes and fires, obviously.
Yes. So yeah, around here, it's more like get in your basement and hope for the best. Like, right. And exactly. That I do 100% of the time. I will always do that, like when I'm told. So I would assume that my rule following would extend to something like this. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I'm thinking of, I'm taking this too serious, because the only thing I'm thinking of is like, what if I have a family member who doesn't want to? Like, do I leave them behind and follow the rules, or would I just go to them and stay with them?
Right.
I'm going to give myself like a solid 80.
Okay.
Because I think I would, but I imagine there could be extenuating circumstances.
Absolutely. I almost feel like I went high on this because I gave myself an 87.
Yeah.
Because when I first thought about it, first I was like 100. And then I was like, well, no.
Yeah.
No. There's plenty of reason why. Also, I think in this movie,
with how fast it hits too.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's it seems like they didn't have enough warning.
Yeah.
Which is the only reason that it's not an act four, Wade four question. Because I did consider that. Because obviously it's like, if you leave, you're fine.
That's it. You're not going to be in this. Yeah.
I only didn't because of the circumstances, which it seems like the storm, it hits them so quick. And it's
exactly like
not that easy.
Yeah. And it's huge. Like, yeah. Even if you leave right away, there's a chance of not making it out fast enough.
Right. Do you refuse to stay at work as the storm pushes in?
You think we'd be fired? You know what I mean? I wonder. Like if...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. That's hard. I'm thinking about my corporate job. I remember working a weekend where there was like full-on blizzard warning. Mm. Like I was so scared for the drive home
because
the blizzard was really, really bad. But I stayed and I was like, well, hopefully. Yeah, right.
They told me to, right?
Yeah. So actually, I think this is more dramatic, I think, than a blizzard. Like the category six, if possible. You know, like that'd be a shitty company to not let your
for real.
People go. And it's like, would I want to work for them if they're that shitty? So
yeah.
I would say I'm gonna go 71.
Okay.
I do think I would likely just be like, fuck you guys, I'm out.
Yeah. The way I went with it, because like if it was just me and the company and they told me I had to stay, I think there's a very good chance I would stay.
Yeah.
But I know in this scenario, I know my parents. They're calling me and they're saying, I don't fucking care what they say.
And, you're like, okay, I'll listen to you over that. Like this authority figure matters more than this authority figure. Yeah.
That is exactly what would happen. Uh-huh. So I gave myself a 78 because I know my parents would be like, bullshit, like get out of there, whatever. And that's why I'm that high. If it was, again, just me, I think I'd just be like, okay, I'll go to work, whatever you say.
Yeah, that's so fair. Because I
would not know how to stand up for myself. What else is new? Okay, do you leave Lisa to her own devices as opposed to helping her out? And this is Jimmy and Scott, who are out in their little rowboat.
I think I would help.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if she wasn't pregnant, maybe I would. But, like, I don't know. Like, a pregnant woman.
Oh, never mind.
A pregnant woman makes it harder to, like, ignore.
I also want to remind you, too, like, they don't know about the sharks. They're unaware of
sharks. Right. No, I'm thinking, okay. So they don't know about the sharks.
Yeah.
That does change it as well. But, oh my God, I have no idea because I have a hard time. Am I a bad person? We come back to this specific conversation every once in a while where I'm like, strangers? Fend for yourself. Good luck. Uh-huh. Good luck to you. Good luck to me. And I'm like, so like, okay, I just need to stay alive for my family. But then it's like, you can't. I'm going to go solid 50. I don't know.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So it's interesting because I think like when we talked about this and no
but they don't know about the sharks. I'm going to go 60.
Wait. Sorry. Do you mean to go
40?
40.
60. 40. 40. Yes. 40.
40. I went 8 because.
Wow.
In this particular situation, I don't see a danger really to myself. I'm out in my boat and she's there. Like, I might as well stop over there. You know what I mean? Mm. Whereas, like, and no one gets out alive, you're putting yourself really in danger. This situation,
this makes sense.
I feel like you're not really putting yourself in further danger by helping her because you're already out there.
I understand, but also the anxiety I get over severe weather, like just the fact that they're saying it's a Category 5 storm and I'm on a boat, like I'm freaking the fuck out already just because of that because I'm so scared of severe weather. So I'd be like very, very – I need to get out of this situation. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Yep.
You know?
Fair.
Yeah. But that makes sense too when you're like, oh, we're fine, the weather's fine, let's just help this person, like that totally makes sense. But I'm I hype severe weather up in my head bad.
Yeah. Okay, so those are your three questions. Yeah, so what is your average frac one given that one is deadly?
Yes, my act one average is 70%.
Mine's 69.
Okay, that feels good. I think in this situation, it's leaving space for like the extenuating circumstances.
You can't take that seriously anymore.
I started laughing as I said space because of the stupid Wicked meme.
Yes.
But it is. It is. Yeah. It's like we're probably fine, but there are circumstances in which.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. Let's get into act two.
Okay.
Dale and Brian, they sit listening to some news broadcasts about how bad the storm is hitting Annieville. And naturally, Dale becomes increasingly worried about Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be able to get her because the interstate is flooded. They take a look at some live overhead feeds that they have somehow of Annieville, and they can see that the entire town is underwater. They come to the conclusion that the levees must have broke, and they hatch a plan. Basically, what they're going to do is they're going to take a boat up the interstate over to Dakota. But they're a decent distance from the road. So for whatever reason, they need the news crew from earlier to tow the boat up the road for them. And in exchange for that, the news crew gets to come with them, which is a reporter and a camera guy, so that they can film whatever they want. Okay. I don't know why they need the news crew to tow the boat.
This is a just accept it moment.
Exactly. I went, okay. Sure.
Yeah.
So they're going to do that. Mr. and Mrs. Olsen are making their way out to the garage to check on their snorkel car as the three kids watch from another one of those large windows in the flooded living room.
Please back away.
They watch as a bull shark drifts by just on the other side of the glass. And in the garage, Mr. Olsen, he goes to unlock his submerged car when a shark jumps up and bites his arm. Oh, no. Okay. So sad. Mrs. Olsen screams in the background as her husband goes under. After taking half of his arm, the shark then goes for Mrs. Olsen.
Mm-hmm.
It grabs her legs and drags her away. And she like grabs onto the side of like the garage door and hangs on for dear life as Billy pops back up from the water.
Ugh.
The kids slam on the window trying to distract the shark, but it's no use. Mrs. Olsen is dragged away. R.I.P. but also not really because like we don't care about
bye.
See ya.
Yeah.
When Mr. Olsen emerges from the garage, the kids bang on the glass and they're screaming, shark, shark. And it's funny because it's like
yes,
his
arm
is missing. He's aware.
Yeah.
So Billy stares at them for a moment before running back to the car. He's going to try to get in again, but of course, another shark grabs him when he tries. The radio in the car turns on as the shark is like munching away, providing us with some fun, comedic country background music.
Aww.
It's really nice. It's really cutesy.
Yeah.
But let's check in on our girl, Lisa. She is still trapped in that car and the water is up to her chin now.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about the fact that the car itself was getting flooded.
Yes. Trauma. Like, no thank you.
You know that's like my biggest fear.
Wait. What, drowning or?
So I have this really intense, probably irrational fear of like cars that I know why is because near me there's a certain hill, a road that goes down a hill, and at the end of it there's a stop sign and then it's just a lake in front of you.
Oh.
And so many people like on record have during like snowy icy season they're not able to stop their car at the end of the hill and then they've driven off and like died breaking through the ice of the lake and like dying in that lake. It's really scary.
Wow.
And it's like this really prominent road near me. And yikes. So I've always been scared of like just the idea of like your car like in a lake like being
submerged, flooded.
And then it extends to like my little siblings being in there with me, especially when they were younger and like couldn't swim. Like whenever I was like driving them, I'm like, oh my God.
No, that's traumatizing.
It's traumatizing. So this is so scary. I've seen that Mythbusters episode though. And I've learned the things you're supposed to do, like what to do to get out of a sinking car and stuff like that. Like you have to
like
wait for it
window,
to be.
Like break the window, right?
Yeah. But I think you have to like pressure wise wait for it to be full. Yeah.
That makes sense. No, that makes sense.
She's
going to
be fine. She's going to be fine.
Yeah. She's just trapped by a tree in a car where there are sharks around it. And like she's going to be fine. So Dakota leans out the window and tells Lisa that she's calling for help. And Lisa's like, girl, like, we don't have time for that.
Yeah.
No one is coming. But Dakota is like, well, there are sharks out there. What do you want me to do about that? And I'm just a girl. And a shed conveniently floats down the street and, like, parks itself right in front of Dakota's house, forming a sort of bridge halfway out to where
convenient.
Lisa's at. And it's like, well, look at that. That's crazy.
I'd be so mad at that shed.
Keep moving. So Lisa decides she wants to make introductions with Dakota and she tells her that she's pregnant and she's not going to let her son die here before he has a chance to take his first breath. She can't do anything about that. So she like low-key is like guilting Dakota into helping her. It's a little weird the way it happens. I don't
know. I think I could be guilted.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, Dakota shrinks back into her window and falls to the floor crying. Like, she's just overwhelmed and scared. Valid. And she tries to control her breathing and talk herself into being strong. Standing back up, she calls out to Lisa that she's coming. Dakota makes her way from the steady second floor down the stairs to the flooded mess that waits for her below. She wades through the hallway and climbs atop some furniture on her way from the living room to the kitchen, where she grabs herself a knife. She goes back upstairs in order to climb out the window because it's one of those windows that like opens onto a roof and then that roof hangs right above a car that's jammed against the house and that car leads to the shed. It's like a whole thing.
Okay.
So she really has to prepare herself to venture outside. And I don't blame her after what she just witnessed like 5 minutes ago. And Lisa provides encouragement from her spot in the trap car. Dakota, she takes one step out the window and immediately slips off the roof and falls into the water.
Okay. Okay, so
girl.
Was it nothing like took her by surprise? There was no like extra piece where she didn't even slip on a certain thing or like a surge of water. She just falls. Okay.
Like, okay, yes, girly. You do that. So she climbs back on top of the car. Okay. That's jammed. The fall was not worth, like, I don't know what they were doing here, but
she's trying to be dramatic.
Just dramatic. She climbs back up, she gets on the car, and then she gets on the shed. And as she makes her way across, she can see shark fins protruding from the waters around the shed. From the shed roof, she climbs over a flipped swing set and then onto Lisa's car. First, she cuts open the cloth roof of the convertible so that she can get to the branches inside. She slices away the branches, pinning Lisa to her seat one by one until Lisa is able to climb through the roof of the car. Okay. So she is free. The two of them make it safely back to the second floor of Dakota's home. Now, back to Brian, Dale, and the news crew. They're still driving toward the water when Brian notices something concerning on his little radar on his computer.
Oh, God.
In the live overhead shot, he can see that the pregnant great white shark that they've been tracking, named Nellie, is dangerously close to where Dakota lives.
Okay.
The reporter he's less scared and a little more excited because he's going to get his exclusive piece.
Yeah.
You know how the reporters are, especially in movies.
Yes.
It's giving like Gale Weathers low-key.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. The cameraman who is driving the van, he slams on the brakes all of a sudden. We look up and we see that we have reached the farthest that we can go. The road ahead of them is flooded.
Mm-hmm.
Ron, Dee, and Will, the kids, they're still inside their one-story home as it continues to flood. And they're currently sitting on top. I can't tell if it's like a dining room table or like a kitchen island. Mm-hmm. Like it's just peeking above the waterline at this point. Now, when their foster parents went outside, they left the front door open, which is... Obviously, the water doesn't matter, but it's like sharks, you know?
Yeah, let's not let them in.
Exactly. It's like, you know, we don't want that. So Dee climbs up on some furniture, and like onto the kitchen counter, making her way over to the front door so she can close it. She holds onto the wall and like she has to really reach out, like tiptoes on the edge of the counter to grab the door and try and pull it close. It's a long stretch, but she's able to grab it and pull it slowly toward her. But just before she can shut it, a shark bumps it open. And swims inside.
Oh, no.
Dee struggles to keep her balance because, like, the door is now swung away from her. Mm. And two bull sharks make their way into the home. Dee's grip on the door starts to slip as she's fully outstretched. So her older brother makes his way over to her. Just as Dee can't hold on any longer, Ron grabs her, saving her from falling into the water. Now, Dakota and Lisa, they are trying to dry themselves up a bit. When a large branch hits the house from underneath the water and like shakes the foundation a bit, we can see now that this house is not going to stay standing for too long.
Yikes.
Uh-huh. Lisa asks what they should do, and Dakota's like, how should I know? Well, Lisa's from New York and she knows absolutely nothing about hurricanes, which now that I think about it, you probably should.
Yeah.
In New York, but that's fine. It seems like neither of them really have any life-saving knowledge for this situation.
I guess, yeah, that would be me.
Yep, be like, well, that sucks for us, I guess.
Yeah.
Dakota just wants to stay here because here is safe, she says, which, you know, seems to come more from her own agoraphobia than the actual belief that it is safe. But for now, they're going to stay here anyway because there aren't many options.
Yeah.
So...
I would stay here, like, as long as you can.
Yeah, might as well, because sure, the house might come down, but, like, it might come down.
Yeah.
You know? It's not going to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Lisa does suggest, though, trying to get some sort of signal up on the roof for rescuers that might come in the future. So Dakota climbs up on the roof and lays out some wet sheets and curtains spelling out the word help.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would stay put, but...
Yeah. I mean, she wets them, so they're heavy, but sure. Like,
We'll see. Maybe it'll pay off.
Listen, this movie has a lot of this shit where you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Whatever you say. Like, this is why this movie hit Netflix and not theaters. So, yes. Meanwhile, Lisa seems to be starting to go into labor. So, Dakota gets back, Lisa's like, okay, we need to know where I'm at. I need you to check how large my opening is.
Oh my God.
Dakota's like, I'm sorry. You need me to what? And neither of them are excited about doing this. But it's kind of like, ladies, there are bigger issues here. It's okay. Like, let her look at your opening for a second. Yeah. Like, it's really, they're acting like, oh my God, I don't want to do that.
Pull yourself together. Please. This is, I fear, one of those situations where it's like, let's just make sure everyone is okay. Like,
let's
not that big of a deal.
It really isn't. So Lisa,
I'd be so scared about doing something wrong, though. I would try my best to deliver a baby, but God.
She's not even asking her to help her deliver. She's just like, can you just tell me how big the opening is?
Yeah.
That's all she's asking her to do.
Yeah.
And so like Lisa throws the blanket aside and Dakota gets down there. She takes a peek and she's immediately like, oh God. And Lisa's like, what do you see?
Yeah.
And Dakota can see the head of the baby.
Oh, wow.
She asks for how big the opening is in inches, and she says 2 to 3 inches. And I'm like, are you sure about that?
Wait, how does centimeters work?
I thought, because I always thought, like, you talked about dilation in centimeters,
you
not
do,
inches.
You definitely do.
But they're very much, like, 2 to 3 inches. If she had a 2 to 3 inch opening, I feel like she'd be in a lot more pain than it. Yeah, we both just felt like this. We both.
Like, are looking at our fingers like 2 to 3 inches. No, yeah, that's like.
I would think the baby's going to pop out right now. Like, girl, isn't this the part where you start screaming?
You just start squatting and screaming, I think. Yeah, that's very far along.
Yeah.
I believe. But now the way you're talking about it makes me think that she's not about to give birth right now, even though I feel like she should be.
So I'm like, okay, am I getting educated or did men just not know how babies are born? Like, one of us doesn't know and it could be me.
Yeah, it could be us. I don't know anything about baby births and all that. Actually, it does scare me. I don't think I could ever
scares
do that.
The shit out of me. I'm like,
shout out women who give birth because Jesus Christ, it's wild.
Couldn't be me. So anyway, the baby's probably coming soon, but let's go back to Dale Bryan.
Literally, we can
crew.
See the head and she's
the
just
head.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, okay, good to know.
Very cool. Just the head. So Dale Bryan and the news crew are getting the boat prepped to head toward Annieville when they lose signal on all of their maps. You know, the wind's coming in strong. And the reporter, now, like, this reporter, he's a character. Like, they made sure to make him a character. And he's like,
oh, dear.
Are you sure this is safe? And Dale looks at him and is like, we're heading up the I-17 in a Zodiac in a Category 5 storm with sharks on the loose. I'm pretty fucking sure that doesn't count as safe.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's just the attitude between these two the whole time. Okay. This reporter's just like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And Dale tells them that if the news crew wants to come, they're leaving now. Up to them. And they seem a little hesitant because they're kind of scared, but they decide to join them for their 100-mile trek. The three siblings are discussing their next move. The water is continuing to rise, and they're just barely safe on top of this table. Ron suggests that their best course of action is going to be to find some way to distract the sharks, giving them enough time to get outside and onto their roof. Now, the water levels here are much lower because, like, they're on the first floor, so it's a little different. At least it seems it. Ron thinks he may be able to find something down in the basement. They can eye two of the sharks from their spot on the table, so they're going to have to wait them out before Ron tries swimming downstairs. Dee mentions that there are steaks that she saw in the fridge down there earlier, and they would make some good bait. So Ron says he'll start by grabbing those along with a couple of the guns that he knows are down there.
Yeah.
The littlest sibling, Will, is like, Ron, Mr. Olsen doesn't like us going down into the basement.
Okay. Mr. Olsen's dead. Actually, he's not. What happened to him? His arm is what happened?
He got his arm gnawed up by a shark.
He did officially die.
Well,
oh, the country music. Because I'm like, oh, the way that
Yeah.
We might see him return. Oh dear. Okay.
We might. So Ron tells his little brother, Mr. Olsen isn't with them anymore, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck Mr. Olsen. he says. Mm-hmm. And Dee smiles and nods. Fuck Mr. Olsen, she adds on. And Will mm-hmm. jumps in too, and they're all screaming with their whole chest, like, fuck Mr. Olsen, fuck that motherfucker. And they're having fun. And then Mr. Olsen pops out of the water.
Okay.
Yeah, scaring all the shit out of all of them. Yeah, so he's here now.
Okay, well, now we have him as a distraction, maybe.
Well, right? Yeah. So he, like, falls down dramatically under the table with his bloody stump of an arm.
God.
That goddamn thing bit my motherfucking arm and butt cheek clean off, he screams.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. And butt cheek.
And his butt cheek. He's missing a butt cheek.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. So he's like writhing in pain. And the kids are staring in disbelief as we cut back to Lisa and Dakota. So the second floor is now flooded with about 2 feet of water. And Lisa's like, we have to get out of here. You said you saw a boat out there, she asked Dakota. The guys that got attacked earlier, they did have their little rowboat, so they could try getting to that. And Dakota's like, okay, maybe, but she wants to wait it out as long as possible because, you know, she's Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
But Lisa insists that it's all just going to end up flooding eventually, so they should try and move now. The boat is a good distance away, but they're going to go ahead and try.
Okay.
So Lisa has some more contractions, and she's trying her best to breathe through them on the bed. She rumps her stomach and says, it's not safe out here right now, okay? It's not safe, so you just got to stay in there a little longer, okay? Please, she begs. And honestly, I'm not going to lie, this moment actually made me a little emo.
Yeah.
It was like the way she was talking to the baby, being like, it's not safe yet. I was like, oh.
Like, I hope the baby listens. Maybe they will.
Listen, baby. Like, I know you're apparently 2 to 3 inches down there. And Jesus. But like, hold up. And after watching this moment play out, Dakota like knows what she's got to do.
Mm-hmm.
She looks out the window into the dark night. It's dark now, by the way.
It's the worst.
Definitely middle of the night.
That's so scary.
And she spots the boat up against a building on the other side of the street. Fuck it, she says. Just, dude, some of the lines in this are kind of corny, but it's fine. She grabs herself some equipment from around the house while she describes something to Lisa that her uncle once told her. Vibrations mimic the distress signals of injured fish. So what she's going to do is find any objects that she can that work on batteries and vibrate. She's going to put them in plastic bags and throw them out into the water in the opposite direction she's going to go to try and distract the sharks. Two of the objects I see her grab are an electric razor and an electric toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
And she ties those up in bags and makes herself a homemade headlamp out of a sweatband and a flashlight. And this is Act 2 check-in.
I can tell you right now, I wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, no, I know, right?
Yeah.
One of the top reviews for this movie is like, she should have grabbed her rose toy.
Yeah. Now we know. This is educational.
Educational.
Just in case Wisconsin gets hit with a hurricane.
Now you know. Now you know what to do. Okay, this is where I need to change something. So I'm going to have to recalculate my scores.
Okay.
I had it and then I took it out and now I'm putting it back. Because.
Interesting.
So, do you stay inside as opposed to checking on your snorkel truck?
If I had a snorkel truck, I actually probably would go and try to check
that. Might check it out.
Well, if I'm being honest, God, I'm a bad person. If I'm being honest, I would send someone else to go check it out. Send my boyfriend
you
out
go
there.
Look.
My stepdad, like, please.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Suddenly I believe in traditional gender roles in this moment. Please go see what's going on. So would I check it out? Well, if I was alone, or I might go with them still, I guess I will give it a 78.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going higher. Because if I'm alone.
Sure.
I'm going to actually give that an 85. I would check. I would try to figure that out.
What, you would?
Yes. Oh, wait. So then I'm low.
You're 15.
So 15.
Oh dear.
Yeah. You wouldn't?
No. I went with an 82 because I think. Now, here's the thing. We're not, like, educated on these snorkel things.
Yeah.
But, like, in my mind, I don't think they made them so that you could drive through, a Category 5 hurricane. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
I think you're supposed to, like, cross rivers with them, you know?
Yeah. Like, maybe, 3 feet of water max.
Yeah.
2-3 feet.
So like that was my thought. But then again, it's like the parents are supposed to be really stupid. But
yeah,
I'm also like, I don't know, maybe they are right. Maybe they could drive in this. I don't know. I don't really.
Well, I feel like if we are like in a situation where like my house might get swept away, like my house isn't going to do me much better either. That's so true. So I'd probably try to figure the snorkel out and see if
that's fair enough.
Yeah.
So this is the question that I'm adding back in.
Mm.
Do you leave Lisa to her own devices as opposed to helping her out? Part two. Now this is going to be as Dakota.
Yeah. Why would you do this to me? What made you want to do
this to me? Now you know there are sharks. Yes.
Now I know there's sharks, pregnant woman. You know how like there is a path to get to her car. If there's like if I have to free swim in the water,
right?
I don't think I would.
It's different. Yep.
But since there's a path, I do feel like I'm higher. Like I can't, I have to try. So sure. I think I will go. This is, would you not help her?
Question. Do you leave her? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you leave her? I think there's probably, again, I'm going to go 15 before I said 40.
Now you're more likely to help.
Yeah, because before, I can still get away from the storm. Like, I feel like it was earlier on. So it's like, can I have my boat and can I just boat away and get out of the storm? But now in Dakota's situation, I feel like I'm stuck at this house either way. So I might as well try helping this person.
Okay.
When I see all these sharks and, you know, so yes, I am like more likely to help in this situation for sure.
Okay. I'm less likely.
Oh.
Just because of the sharks. Like sharks scare the shit out of
me. Oh, the sharks make me more want to help. You know? Now that I know that they're because I'm worried for her. So I'm like, oh, I got to get her away from those sharks.
Oh, no. The sharks make me go, ooh, that sucks.
Yeah. Which again, like if it was just like, I don't want to swim with the sharks. I ain't doing that. But since there's a path, that's where I'm like, I just got to try to get her away from them.
Yeah, I'm going 37. Because I think I'm less likely to help out because I'm fucking terrified of getting eaten alive by a shark.
But, fair.
Fair, you know, like a fair fear.
It literally is. Yeah. Sharks are. It really is. I wonder, a lot of people love sharks. I like don't love or hate sharks. They're just like, whatever. It's like cool. But my sister's a big shark fan and I wonder if bull sharks actually have like these violent tendencies or if.
Right. You never know. Next, we have. To see, can you successfully make it to Lisa and back without getting attacked by sharks?
I can tell you I'm not falling off the roof.
True. She fell off the roof and she still made it back.
Exactly. So I'm going to say, I'm going to give myself an 88.
Okay. Damn.
I think I could. If she could, I feel like I could.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
I think adrenaline like really helps you out in situations like this.
Mm-hmm. I went 73. So like still... upper half for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then lastly, can you hold on to the door to keep yourself from falling in the water?
No.
The kids.
No. I cannot.
No?
I'm in really bad shape. Wait, how does this work? What are the physics?
It's
of
just
this?
Like, so she's like standing on the counter and she's reaching across to the door and she's on her tippy toes. So like basically she's planked out holding the door and like her feet are on the edge of the counter and it's more of a balance issue than it is a strength issue.
Oh, okay. And how long does she have to hold on?
25 seconds.
Okay. I think you have to be in a certain level of shape to be able to do this, honestly.
She's like a 12-year-old girl.
Oh, I was in better shape when I was 12.
I mean,
than I am now.
What am I saying?
So I'm going to go solid flat 80.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I went with a 94.
Yeah.
I think this, to me, I think if you saw it, you might up yourself.
Yeah, maybe I'm making it harder in my head.
But yeah, I think not too bad. Okay. And none of these questions are deadly.
Okay. So my act one was a solid 70.
Mm-hmm.
My act two is a solid 50.
Oh, damn. Yeah, because you're helping. You're not running from the sharks. You're like, gimme get them sharks. My second actually went up to a 72, I think because of the door and the... Actually, yeah, I went higher on everything. Snorkel truck, helping Lisa. The one thing I went lower on was the making it there and back. But yeah, I did go higher on things. So yeah, 72.
Okay.
Alrighty, third act, here we come. Dakota is going to go ahead. She's going to toss those vibrating bags into the water, yes, hoping this that her uncle random was right.
Pull mm-hmm. for her. I hope it works.
Right? Before Dakota heads out the window, Lisa thanks her. If it weren't for the baby, Dakota probably would not be doing this, if we're going to be honest with ourselves. Mm. So now Mr. Olson, our good friend Mr. Olson, starts talking to the kids. And he asks if his wife made it. And they're like, nah. And Ron calls him out. You were going to get in that truck and drive off, he says. Mm. Mr. Olson defends himself, saying, yeah, he was, but he was going to go get help and, like, come back for them.
That's
and
so the kids... us-coded, actually. Like, yeah, right? No, we're running away because we're going to get help for you. Like, don't worry.
Yeah, we'll be right back. But the kids, like, they call bullshit on yeah. that. But he insists he was going to get them help, and now he needs them to do that for him.
Oh, absolutely not.
And they're like, there are at least three bull sharks swimming around out there. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And Mr. Olson tries to tell them that sharks don't like kids. They just don't like the way they taste or something. It's science. He literally says this.
Weird. Like, they are not young enough to believe that, right?
No. One of them is 18.
Yeah.
Ish. Somewhere around there. And of course, they just stare at him.
Yeah.
Like, you're joking, right? Well, Will also comes across one of the checks from the government that's sitting on the table. Mm. And for the first time, this is the first time the kids find out that the Olsons are getting paid $1,500 a month to take care
wow.
of them.
Wow. Yeah.
And they know that they must be spending all that money on themselves because steaks. They never even get food.
Yeah.
Barely, you know? But Billy keeps defending himself like, no, it's not like that. I love you guys. But of course, the kids aren't buying it. And when he finally accepts that, he turns back into his true self. You know what? Listen, I still got one good arm left. Don't think I won't use it. I'm not fucking asking you. I'm telling you. Ron stands up for himself and his siblings, telling Billy that if he wants something, he can do it for himself. Billy swings at Ron with his good arm, but Ron is obviously at an advantage here, so he fights back. And as Billy and Ron fight against each other, Dee stands up and just sends a kick into Billy's face. And that sends him flying into the water. Oh no, so sad.
Oh man.
You just kicked me in the face, you little bitch. He yells, jumping back up. But of course, here comes the sharky poo. It sweeps him up and drags him away from the kids.
Good.
And the kids watch as all of the sharks start feasting on Billy. Ugh. And this is the distraction that they need.
Exactly.
You know, they've been looking for that. So I will say there is, to me, a bit of an error here.
Mm.
Because I don't even need to go on this tangent, but I'm going to. Mm-hmm. They're like, we need a distraction to get to the roof. What we need is meat from the basement. So they then need a distraction to go get the meat from the basement so that they can use the meat to distract the sharks to get to the roof. Whereas,
right,
like,
how are you going to get to the basement?
Well, not even that, but like, why don't you just go to the roof now? Why are we even
Wait,
doing
what?
The basement stuff?
They're still going to the basement right now?
Yes. That's what they're using this distraction for, to go to the basement to get a fucking distraction.
Wait.
Yeah.
What? That no, is I know. Crazy. No, that's crazy. I didn't even, like, my brain didn't even go there because I was like, that would be so stupid. I no. assume we're just going straight to the, like, perfect. We don't even need the steaks anymore. Let's go to the roof.
No.
What?
No, we're going down there to get the steaks. And I'm like, wait. This is why this movie did not hit the theaters.
Yeah, again.
Because it's a mess. So Ron, he's going to go ahead. He swims into the basement and he grabs the steaks from the fridge.
Okay.
He tries to pry the guns from the wall, but none of them will budge.
The guns might be worth going for down there for.
Right.
It could be helpful. But we don't get them anyway, so.
No. I don't know if they're just, like, secured in some way, but they won't, like, come off the wall. So when Ron turns around, he can see that one of the sharks is calmly swimming down the stairs into the basement after him. He pushes over a paint can that floats to the ground and, like, makes a tiny little thud when it hits the ground. And this is enough to distract the shark.
Meanwhile, there's a Category 5 storm yes. whirring around. Like,
no, she's like,
but the paint can.
It's got it. He's, yeah. And then Ron, like, obviously, he tries to go to swim away, but he can't because his sweater is, like, caught on a hook.
Oh.
But it's a short enough struggle, though, as he's, like, able to pull himself away. And okay. he goes back upstairs and emerges from the water, gasping for breath, because obviously he's been underwater for a while. But we learned earlier that he can hold his breath for a long time.
Yeah.
But his siblings grab him. They pull him back up on the table just in time. Now we okay. have meat. And apparently he grabbed another box that I didn't see him grab. But just trust me, he did.
Okay.
But anyway, back at Dakota's, the yes. water levels have risen enough so that the bed Lisa has been sitting on begins to float. Dakota is trying to make her way across the street to get the boat. And A shark jumps up nearby and snatches one of those vibrating bags that Dakota had thrown out. The other bags start dropping too, and Dakota swims faster. She's trying to make it to the boat while the sharks are distracted. But those bags don't keep them occupied for long. The sharks abandon the bags and start going straight for Dakota, who freezes in fear. She watches the fins approach before they suddenly turn away from her. Where the hell are they going? Yeah. She asks herself. She looks down into the water, her headlamp's beam breaking through the surface, and just below her she can see a great white shark. She remains as still as she can, and the great white just swims by. Just drifts on by.
Okay.
So the boat crew drifts farther along in their journey now, and they can't believe their eyes. Everything is underwater. The reporter asks Dale, like, what made him want to study sharks. So he tells us he grew up by the banks of the Zambezi River, and he says that there is one animal that they fear the most that lives in the river. And the reporter's like, sharks. And Dale's like, no, the hippopotamus.
Oh, yeah.
One day Dale, scary. Oh yeah, they're supposed to be one of, if not like the most dangerous animal. Like they're just that
wild,
scary. Yeah. One day, Dale was looking at crayfish in the water when a hippo appeared and went for him.
Oh.
Just as it was about to get to him, it suddenly stopped and twitched. Two big bull sharks were attacking it. Did you run back to your hut and get a spear? The reporter asks. No, I ran back to my apartment, called the police, and had me some pizza. We lived in Mozambique, not the fucking Jungle Book.
Oh, my God.
He says, now, it's worth noting that Dale is a black man, and it's just good. He's got, like, a thick accent.
That's a microaggression.
And it's like, what did you just ask him?
Yeah.
Yikes. If he went back to his hut?
And grabbed a spear? That's awful.
I'm about to throw this reporter into the fucking water.
No, yeah, like, he better die by the end.
Bro. Get some help. But anyway, it's pretty clear why Dale became so interested in sharks. For one, they saved his life. But two, he was also just fascinated by the fact that those sharks were able to cause fear in a hippopotamus, you know? So, like one of the most powerful animals in the world. So he became fascinated. The reporter asks him if there's anything that scares a bull shark. But Dale says only bigger sharks. And also certain electrical currents can distort their brains. But that's it. So just then, the signal comes back and Brian's laptop is able to connect back up with the satellite. Taking a look at the map, they can see all the sharks they've tagged. And yes, so many of them are just currently in Annieville, just floating around.
Yeah.
So as they're making their way down the street, they come across an abandoned SWAT van whose back doors are open.
Okay.
I guess I don't know where it came from, but it's here now. And Dale eyes some weapons inside.
Nice. That's great.
Yep. We'd love to see that. And we kind of cut away from that. So we're like, ooh, what's Dale up to? Like, weapons.
Yeah.
So the sun's starting to rise again. And the rain has actually stopped. The wind is gone. It's very calm. They're kind of just existing. Everyone's just existing in the aftermath.
Okay.
Dakota is still across the street. And she has made it to the boat, by the way. Well, Lisa lays in the bed back at her house, getting closer to birthing this child.
I cannot believe she hasn't birthed yet.
I know.
The baby did listen.
The baby was like, okay, chill. Okay, I got you. That house, though, is starting to like really creak and shift beneath the water. And Dakota gets her hands on some sort of harpoonish thing because the building the boat was next to was a fishing shop, conveniently.
Oh, nice.
You know how it is.
Yep.
So Lisa, she's breathing through her contractions when she pulls out her phone and opens up that birthing playlist, all right? You got this, she tells herself as she throws on the first song. Mm-hmm. 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton starts playing.
That's, you know what? Hell yeah.
Like, yeah. There's just like sharks. It's great. So
yeah.
Quick cut back to the siblings. They're hatching a plan for their next move and they've got those stakes and surprise, that mystery box that I don't know where the fuck it came from. He opens it up and it's got dynamite in it.
Why do we have dynamite in the basement?
I don't know. We do though. We got dynamite.
Okay.
But it's funny because like as he whips open the box, the song kicks back in. It's like, da-na-na-na-na-na, and I need you. And the kids are like really hype. And it's like, if I could fall, and Lisa's crying in pain, into the sky, she grips the sheets. Do you think time, this baby is coming, would pass me by? And it's like really just a wild energy that we have going on.
Yeah, wow.
So Lisa encourages herself to give one more big push and the baby will come.
Mm-hmm.
But just as she does, the house shifts and starts to collapse. So Lisa swims out into the water and grabs onto a piece of wood floating by. It's actually like a dresser drawer. Mm-hmm. And Dakota starts to row over to her. Lisa screams, like a deadly scream, and then a pool of red just suddenly surrounds her. She frantically reaches down into the water and like pulls the baby up.
Okay.
So she did have her like tub birth after
The water birth came
through. Got the baby. Baby here.
Oh my God.
An overhead shot shows us that the sharks are all like approaching.
Oh my God, of course. Blood. Yeah.
So Lisa continues to hang on to this dresser drawer and her baby. And when she sees the shark swimming toward her, she drops her baby in the drawer.
Oh my God. And she... You did not need to word it like that. I thought she was like dropping her baby to the sharks.
She just tosses it over.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
No. She puts the baby in the drawer,
gently,
right?
Sets the baby. Yes.
I'm sorry. She drops that thing. Yeah, she gently sets the baby in the drawer and grabs a shark, like split a shark.
She grabs. She grabs. Okay, hold on.
Oh, this episode's really going. She grabs a shark. Places. Okay.
Before she grabs the shark, is the umbilical cord still connecting them?
No, I haven't even gotten there yet. Don't worry. Okay. It's still very much connected.
Okay.
So she grabs a sharp splinter of wood and uses it to cut the cord.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you don't feel that, right?
I don't think so, but that's weird.
Yeah, no, like, it is kind of crazy. I was just like, he's usually, I feel like a movie would ignore this most of the time and just be like, there's no cord. But like, the cord's just there and it's just floating around.
Oh my God.
Kind of wild. So the baby cries. Oh. What? The baby's like crying and Lisa goes, "Mommy's here. Mommy's just got to fight some fucking sharks." And this is like, everyone just talks about this line because.
It's not my favorite.
It's just one of those lines where you go, oh.
I know. That happens a lot lately. Like, I don't know what it is in the last couple years. There's so much, like, bad dialogue where people are trying to make these badass moments.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not what you think it is. Like, please.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's a line. So one of the bull sharks swims straight for Lisa, and she readies herself. As it dives for her, she raises that splintered wood into the air and stabs the shark with it.
Wow.
And it keeps it away for the moment, but it doesn't really seem to do much to it. Right. I kid you not. We get a shot of the shark underwater and it just kind of does like a little shimmy. Like, oh, shake that off. Just a little stab with some wood annoying. And it's like fine.
Yeah.
So Lisa swims back to her baby and cradles him in her arms, all while Dakota continues to paddle toward her. I'm very animated today. I think I'm trying to overcompensate for this movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I enjoy the show.
So good. I'm glad. From a distance, Dakota can see another shark approaching Lisa fast. So she stops paddling and grabs the harpoon. Mm-hmm. She aims it in just the same way her mother had shown her all those years ago.
This is another thing that's been a problem in movies the last couple of years. It's like the most obvious thing that they're trying to make emotional and sentimental. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. And it's like, doesn't even work because it's so quick. And it's just like, that was stupid.
Yeah.
It's weird. She steadies herself. She fires. She hits the shark just before it can attack Lisa and her baby. A quick cut back to the siblings, and they have created one hell of a contraption. They have duct taped the stakes to a collection of dynamite, which they plan on lighting and throwing into the water in an attempt to blow up the shark.
Of course.
Right. So they do that, right? They light it up.
Dynamite is so – okay, can I just say
– Please, please.
I've experienced some dynamite media in a certain TV show that I've been watching lately on my Patreon. There's a dynamite situation. I just don't want to.
Oh, yes. Sure.
And isn't it like really impossible to deal with? Like, is it going to accidentally blow up? So is that a thing in this movie where it's like.
But
it should be. You know, is
it
this like a.
It probably should be.
Yeah. I wonder if there's like certain dynamite where it's like you don't have to be as careful, but. I'm imagining the movie just decided to just be like, F it. Like, let's just not worry about the dynamite accidentally blowing up. It's going to be fine.
No, I think you're right. I think dynamite is like considered, I mean, not that any explosive is safe, but like it's one of the most dangerous.
Yeah.
Because of just the way that
I'm just like, how are they dealing with this dynamite in this storm, making
and
this contraption?
Just duct tape in it.
Yes, without it going off.
It's all good. Okay.
Okay.
So they do it. They light it up and they just chuck it. Now, also, I guess the flame doesn't go out in the water. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But the sharks, they're not coming. So like, oh no, what do we do? And well, little Will, he knows that vibrations are what makes sharks attack. Okay.
I thought you said little whale. I was like, oh my gosh, a little so whale a little has whale. Arrived. We're accidentally going to kill a nice little whale.
Here goes a little whale.
These kids are about to be traumatized accidentally killing this little whale instead of the sharks.
Can you imagine? That would be in like a comedy, God. Like, oh, steak. And it's like a happy little whale.
This movie, I feel like, would work way better as parody.
Oh, I think you're fun. Right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Well, he knows about the vibrations. So they got to go cause some. So they head right over to where the dynamite is. And they start flapping in the water.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this is real. Who wrote this?
And they're trying to get the sharks to come back. And it's really funny because, like,
oh my God,
the sharks do come back. And the kids are like, oh, shit, as if this isn't exactly what they were trying to make happen. Yeah.
By the way, is the song still on or have we moved past it?
Oh, we've moved past it, unfortunately.
Okay. Unfortunately.
I kind of wish it was still here.
Me too.
No. So quickly, they swim over to the table counter. And of course, Ron's stupid sweater gets caught on something again.
Oh my God. Take it off. Just take it off.
Why would you be wearing a sweater?
No, it's going to drag you down. Yeah.
Just take that thing off. Like, what are you doing? So the shark dives right for him, but he frees himself just in time.
Yes.
Back to Lisa and Dakota. Dakota's finally made it over to Lisa, who hands her the baby up on the boat. Before Lisa can get up on the boat herself, a bull shark comes by and bumps the boat, completely capsizing it.
Oh.
And into the water, everybody goes.
The baby's in the water?
The baby is in the water. No, well, luckily Dakota like held it.
Okay, okay.
Free falling. And it's just the baby. And that's not funny. So Dakota hands the baby back to Lisa when the sound of a motor catches her attention.
Okay, good.
Looking up, she sees Uncle Dale
yes.
and his boat crew heading straight for them.
Okay.
This better work, Dale says. It's like a dramatic zoom in on Dale, right? And yeah. He's like, this better work. And he pulls out one of those weapons from the back of the SWAT van.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it's some kind of taser thing.
Uh-huh.
He powers it on.
Oh, like electricity thing because of the sharks. Yeah.
So he like throws it into the water and the electricity like pops a few times and forces this handful of sharks away from Lisa and Dakota for at least a moment.
Okay.
But then it kind of fizzles out and it sinks.
Right.
And another bull shark is heading for them full speed. And there isn't anything that anyone can do. So Dakota and Lisa brace themselves for the attack. When Nelly the Great White comes soaring through the air, snatching the bull shark in its mouth. Holy fucking shit, Dale says. And the news crew is elated because they caught it on film. The shark saved them.
I don't know what this movie is trying to do.
Like, no, it's trying to be great. It's trying to be great. What do you mean?
Nelly. Okay, Nelly. Thank you so much.
Nelly the Great White is like an actual legend. The siblings. Oh, that's right. The siblings are still in their own dilemma.
Right.
Yeah. So like they've jumped behind the counter as the sharks head for the meat.
Mm-hmm.
The dynamite blows and shark bits go flying everywhere, covering the house and the kids themselves in blood. It's like really nice.
Okay.
And the kids jump up and down and celebrate their successful contraption. Nothing but pure joy on their faces. Uncle Dale helps Lisa and Dakota onto their boat before telling Brian to get them the hell out of here.
Uh-huh.
Lisa asks to borrow Brian's phone and she FaceTimes her mom and is like, meet your grandson. Okay. And it's all cute and whatever.
Yes.
So the siblings grab the keys to Billy's truck and decide to drive it out of there with a snorkel on it. A cutesy happy song plays as Dale tells Dakota that her mother would have been really proud of her right now. The boat floats off into the distance. Back with the harbor master, Greg, an alarm sounds on his computer. Taking a closer look, he can see that another hurricane is headed their way. Oh, fuck me, he says, and the credits roll.
Okay, right. That was unnecessary. So. We didn't like, no one wants a sequel.
Nobody asked for that.
No one wants Thrash Again. Like, no.
Thrash Again. Thrash 2. Thrash Again. This movie, I enjoyed the vibes.
Yes.
But, like, the script is lacking.
Pretty bad.
The script needed some Cassie and Mel assistance.
Yeah.
To make it a little better.
It would have been such a hit if they would just let me and Mel in the room.
I know. What the hell? It would have been in the theaters right now. But it's like fun and there's some good moments. And I like the girl who plays Dakota. I think she's good and I like her. She's actually going to be in the
good actors.
She's going to be in the new Hunger Games movie.
Oh.
That was the only thing I think I recognized her like from. But
yeah.
Yeah. But that's Thrash. It's got bad reviews, which I'm sure you can kind of understand now that you've heard it.
Yeah, I definitely understand. But I do think it sounds like a good bad movie.
Yes.
Not just a bad, bad movie, which I totally appreciate. Yes. I would give this a watch.
Yeah. A good, bad movie is a great way of putting it, which is you know, kind of what I expect from my Netflix stuff. This is exactly like, yep, this is my Netflix
It's a big
movie.
Surprise when something like Netflix actually hits hard. Exactly. Which is sad because there's good Netflix stuff, but it's harder to find these days, I fear.
It really is. So I actually do have quite a few questions for you in our third act. So here we go. Do you come up with the vibration distraction tactic?
Absolutely not. Zero.
Yeah. Zero. Okay.
Zero. I've never heard that.
I gave myself a 6 just because I don't know, like in a crazy world where I'm like, how would I distract a shark?
Yeah. Maybe desperate times we would resort to that. Sure. I'll give myself a 1 because you're right.
There might be a chance that you think of that.
Yeah.
Unlikely, but sure.
Yeah.
Do you successfully swim into the basement, grab the stakes, and swing back up without getting attacked or drowning?
I just wouldn't do that.
Oh, I know, I wouldn't either.
So, but we do have to.
We're playing a game.
Yes. So, I need goggles.
I can't open my eyes underwater. That's so real.
I can't open my eyes underwater. If I have contacts and they're going to get fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I don't, I'm not wearing my contacts, I just won't be able to see.
Yep.
So I also have to hold my nose underwater.
Oh, same. Girl, you and me in the same boat.
So I would not be good at this. So I'd be struggling and then I'd probably slow myself down because of all that. And then the shark, I'm going to go low. I'm going to go 12.
Okay. I went 3. So like.
Yeah.
It's swimming
Give
stuff.
Give it my best.
I just panic. So yeah. Like I would just, no, it would not happen.
Yeah.
Can you make it to the boat without getting eaten? Now this is Dakota. This one's a little tricky because now this is assuming you did the vibration tactic.
Which I did not.
You didn't, but assuming you did.
Yeah, right. This is when?
This is when Lisa's inside giving birth and she's like, we need to go get that boat.
Yeah.
So she swims across to get the boat to bring it back.
I'll give myself a 25.
25? Okay.
Yeah.
I did 44. I feel like looking back on it, maybe that's a little high.
It's just so chance-based.
Yeah, it really is.
So I don't know.
Are those things going to – no, it is a tricky one. Looking back on that now, I'm like, that's a tricky question to answer, I feel like.
But it's part of it.
It is part of it. All right. I literally – the way I wrote this question. So, birthing your child. How does that go? Can you do it?
I really do think there's, like, some level of divine femininity in childbirth. And,
that's
like,
exactly
a woman
where I went.
Can just do it when you need to do it. So I would say like probably a freaking 95. Like you just have to.
No, I think that's the only reason. I gave myself an 83 and I only went as high as that because of exactly what you just said. I think it's like a combination of adrenaline and all other things that like just makes it happen. But knowing me, I'm like, I would just fucking pass out. I feel like that could happen to me.
I wonder how often that happens in birth in general. Because I know. Then obviously under this situation, it's so insane to give birth like this.
Yeah, right.
Like passing out feels like a viable possibility.
Yeah, so that's why I went where I went. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You should be able to.
Yeah.
Can you use the splintered wood to fight off a shark?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would grab anything I could and try to scare it away. you're not really going to be able to do much with it, but hopefully just distract and scare. And
yep,
I'll say an 87.
Okay. I give myself a 37. Wow. And when it comes to any kind of physical thing, also floating in the water, I think is like the other part. But I think it's not as hard as I initially was thinking it would be, because it's like, I don't know, you just got to hit it.
Yeah.
Just hit just it.
Just keep then it swinging
away.
Around.
Yeah. That's me fighting a shark. That's why I have a 37.
It's amazing.
You're welcome, everyone. Can you use the harpoon to shoot the shark?
Nah. I wouldn't know.
No. Yeah. You're on a boat floating. That thing is like speeding.
Yeah, no, that seems too much for me.
Seems unlikely.
Yeah. I think I would go like a 5%.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went 17.
Yeah.
I don't think so, but you never know. Get lucky. And our final question, do you create a dynamite stake contraption and successfully save you and your siblings' lives?
In
yeah,
a
no,
world,
like,
in
play, a world. This is why I said this might make you mad. Because, like, what the fuck?
In a world where I'm not going to blow myself up, because clearly they did not have to worry about that at all. So I'm not going to either.
Nope, you shouldn't.
Would I have been able to grab it even and have that dynamite on me? Should I take that into account here, or do I just have the dynamite now?
You have it, because I don't even know where he got it. I didn't even see him grab it. So, like, sure.
Yeah, if I had some dynamite and stakes on me, and I was like, I think it would cross my mind to be like, okay, let's blow it up. Let's try to do this. I'm going to go 61.
Okay. I went 48, so we're pretty close.
Okay. So my third act score comes out to 41.
Okay. You're higher than me for this one, which I think makes sense based on things. I went 34 on this act.
Okay.
Which for me brought my overall score for the movie to a 53%.
Fair. This is just the kind of movie that falls in the middle, because it's so ridiculous. Okay, I got a 49 overall.
Okay.
So what is that, 51?
We got a 51.
Yeah.
51.
Because there's real crazy things happening in this movie. It's not like ridiculous in the way of like, this is so easy. It's not, but it's actually like when you break it down to what the characters are doing, it's like,
yes, exactly.
Okay, I guess I can do that too, I think, under these very specific circumstances.
Crazy
circumstances. Yeah.
Yeah. When I first watched the movie, I was thinking like we were going to have crazy high scores because of the ridiculous nature. But then I broke it down into these questions and I was like, shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah,
because there's just a weird combination of crazy things, and then like obviously the only thing that really holds weight crazily is if you evacuate or not.
Yep,
because if you evacuated, you're chilling. But you gotta play the game. You gotta stay
play the game. That's what this worksheet is for. We force ourselves to play the game, because if we didn't have this worksheet, we definitely would be giving ourselves higher scores. Just if we were like, okay, just vibe wise, I think we could do this, but then
that's why we made it harder for ourselves to survive.
Yeah.
We hate ourselves or something. I don't know. But yeah, that's Thrash. So hopefully everyone found something to enjoy in this one. I don't know. I feel like things kind of got out of hand at the end, but that's just how it goes sometimes. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and hanging out with us this week. As always, please check us out over on Instagram at I'd Survive Podcast. There you can also find the links to our Patreon and Discord, where you too can fill out an interactable worksheet to get your own score. So let us know, would you survive?